Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The two scripture readings for today are taken from the Common English Bible, the first of which is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. As Moses is giving his final guidance to the Israelites before they enter the promised land without him. Once you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you take possession of it and are settled there, take some of the early produce of the fertile ground that you have harvested from the land the Lord your God is giving you and put it in a basket. Then go to the location the Lord your God selects for his name to reside. Go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, I am declaring right now before the Lord my God that I have indeed arrived in the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest will then take the basket from you and place it before the Lord your God's altar. Then you should solemnly swear before the Lord your God, my father was a starving Armenian. He went down to Egypt, living as an immigrant there with few family members. But that is where he became a great nation, mighty and numerous. The Egyptians treated us terribly, oppressing us and forcing hard labor on us. So we cried out for help to the Lord, our ancestors' God. The Lord heard our call. God saw our misery, our trouble, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with awesome power and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land full of milk and honey. So now I am bringing the early produce of the fertile ground that you, Lord, have given me. Set the produce before the Lord your God, bowing down before the Lord your God. Then celebrate all the good things the Lord your God has done for you and your family, each one of you, along with the Levites and the immigrants who are among you. The second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterwards Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus replied, it is written, people won't live only by bread. Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone. Jesus answered, it's been said, don't test the Lord your God. After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Lent is a reminder of 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness, feeling hunger, thirst, temptation. He was prepared by this journey. This Lent, prepare for Easter by giving up, by giving in to God.
I have been accused of being meticulous. It's interesting, Bob, that you say that because there are specific areas where I think I am the most meticulous, and I would suggest that music is one of them. God bless you, Bob, and you all in the choir know that he has the patience of a saint. If you have been in this congregation for a while, you know how incredible our director of music is, and God bless you for putting up. Yes. God bless you for putting up with my meticulousness. Technology is another area that I am meticulous. Our AV folks work really hard to present a worship service not only for we who gather in the sanctuary, but for those who gather online and do incredible work, particularly on Sunday morning, and sometimes there's other work to be done. A technical glitch will happen or somebody, you know, honestly makes a mistake. And God bless you all for hearing me out when I express my meticulousness about those things. One of the things that sometimes happens for me is if I just get my brain focused on a thing, I can't give it up until it's done. And that's been a good chunk of my weekend. I've been spending some of my weekend making some music. Making music is part of my self-care routine. And so, I pull up the right app on my laptop and I record some music. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I did that version of Amazing Grace in a minor key. And so I recorded that. I spent a lot of time on it. And I asked Cameron, my oldest son, to come in and play some bass guitar on it. God bless that child for putting up with my meticulousness as I told him how I wanted that bass part to be played. You know, I didn't give him a whole lot of creative liberty. But you know what I found? Some of the most incredible things happen when I set aside that meticulousness and just leave space for people to be themselves and bring their own creativity and wonder and joy and their personhood. Now, Bob, you and I have worked together for a year and a half now, and we have learned about each other, and you express such wonderful creativity, and I hope that your experience is the same as mine, and that there is this sense of trust that you will do the things that you want to do, because it's always going to work out beautifully, as our anthem this morning. There's a particular thing that happened. This was, Cam, it was about a year ago, maybe. I was recording a different song, and it just wasn't coming out right. And I asked Cameron to come in, and I changed the tempo. It's a song that I wrote. I've never played it here before. It's a song that I wrote about the story of the prodigal son. The way I'd always played it was just, you know, sort of this acoustic guitar piece. And I just thought, well, maybe one way to try to live into this song a different way, maybe it's just to change the tempo. And so I slowed the tempo down a bit. And then Cameron sat down with his bass, and he said, oh, I have an idea. And he tuned his lowest string down. If you're a musician, you know that a bass, the lowest string is an E. He tuned it all the way down to a D. And he said, let me just try this thing. And it was the slower tempo, and he just started to play. Now, one of the things that I loved is what he played was very clearly influenced by my favorite rock band, Van Halen. But he started playing this it was just these piercing low-end quarter notes that just drove this beat in such a way that recreated the entire song. If you'd like to hear that song sometime, I don't know if it's right to play here because it's awfully edgy. But it's a story about the prodigal son, and so maybe if you're interested, maybe I can share that with you all sometime. But it was because
is because I gave up that meticulousness a little bit, that this whole new thing was created. Now, as we enter into the season of Lent, as I said with the children this morning, very often people will take on a new practice or give up a practice. Sometimes that looks like giving up, you know, ice cream. I did mention to someone once giving up coffee, and she looked at me like I was crazy. So maybe that's not your thing to give up. Maybe taking on a new practice. Some folks take on a spiritual practice. Maybe you have agreed to join in the Lenten Bible study that Lori Leopold is leading. If you want to know more about that, we can get you in touch with Lori and she can get you all the info. I know several folks from this congregation are taking on the new Stephen Ministry training that we're doing in partnership with Pacific Beach UMC. Maybe you're, you know, I talked to someone this morning who's giving up anger. Ooh, that's a good one. As we enter into this Lenten season, we're going to be talking about some of the things that we might give up. In particular, giving up control. Now, I would confess to you that giving up control can be a difficult thing. Because as you know, there's only one way to load bowls in the dishwasher. My way. There are some things that we wish to control more so than others. And maybe they're the things that we feel like we know best. But I learned something from one of my favorite movies, Star Wars. Which one? Good question. The original, A New Hope, where Princess Leia is talking to Governor Tarkin, who is talking about increasing security. And she says, the more you tighten your grip, the more star systems slip through your fingers. Isn't control like that? The more we try to tighten up our control, the more we don't have it. In our Old Testament lesson, I was so grateful for the way that Sal framed it. Helped us remember that these are some of Moses' final instructions before the people of Israel go into the promised land. He gives them instructions that not only remind them where they've come from, remind them of their recent experiences, it's 40 years in the wilderness, but remind them of those experiences of slavery, of terror, and escape. Through incredible circumstances, but then the trauma of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And remind them that even though you're stepping into this new thing, I always talk about how God's always doing a new thing, and the Israelites are stepping into a new place, stepping into a new thing. Moses said, don't forget. You not only have to remember what your past, what your history is, but you have to remember to give a bit back. You don't have this whole new sense of freedom where you get to do whatever you want. You have to be thoughtful. You have to be careful. You have to remember. And in our New Testament lesson, where Jesus also goes in the wilderness, driven by the Spirit, it says, and he goes and he experiences temptation. It's interesting when I look at the temptation. First of all, I want to point out a textual difference in the Common English Bible. I went through 10 different translations, and it's only present in this one, in the Common English Bible. You see, in every other translation, when Jesus is tempted, the words spoken to him are, if you are God's son, do this. The Common English Bible is the only one that says, since you are God's son. Did you notice that this morning? That's why I picked this translation. I went back, I got out my concordance because I really had to know, what's the Greek word here? And the Greek word more commonly means if. But there's like a long list of things that the word could mean, including whomever. I choose to read it as since. Because for me, it changes the phrasing. It's not, if you are God's son, here's how you can prove to me that you are. But what if it's that acknowledgement? Since you are God's son, since you already have this power, it's just a little thing to turn a stone into bread. Since you already have this power, it's just a little thing to throw yourself from the temple. Of course God would save you. It's just a little thing. And isn't that a more insidious temptation? There are three temptations that are brought to Jesus. Since you are God's son, feed people, specifically yourself. Number two, since you are God's son, let me be in charge. Now, this requires some context. Who's in charge in first century Palestine in Jesus' time? Is it the Jews? No. It's the Romans. An oppressive, occupying power. Let me be in charge and not them. Regime change. And what's the third temptation? Go to Jerusalem. Risk your life. It'll be okay. But do you see the parallels to Jesus' ministry? Feed people. Jesus does. In quite a large number. Push back against the occupying power. Ruling with justice and equity, that's what we need. And Jesus pushed back against the occupying power and spoke about justice and equity. And the third, go to Jerusalem and risk your life. And Jesus did. Go to Jerusalem. And risk his life. But he did these things not in response to temptation and perhaps an invitation into the easy way, but following what I have experienced as the still small voice, what Wesley named as the strange warming of his heart. What we may experience is those subtle impulses, those subtle nudges that we know are the presence of that in the universe which is bigger than we are, God, our Redeemer, our Creator, the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, turning ourselves to earth, to heavenly things rather than earthly things, it changes the outcome profoundly. Jesus, since you are the Son of God, you have the power. You can exercise this power in whatever way you want. And yet Jesus gives up that power. Paul might note it as emptying himself so that he might focus more on heavenly things rather than earthly things. Jesus, who has all the power that we can imagine and more, gives up control. And what areas do we seek to have control? In what areas do we tighten our grip? In what ways can we let go and let God? As we enter this season of Lent, my friends, I invite you to give up control, to follow the still small voice, the strange warming of the heart, the gentle nudges to that which God places before you, and to watch and wonder as it turns out even better than we might hope. And certainly better than we could do on our own. Amen. Friends, we continue the practice of concluding our sermon time with an invitation to how you might respond. I like to try to come up with something practical. And so here is the practical invitation this first Sunday in Lent. If you haven't already decided on something that you would like to give up for Lent, whether that is a temptation around a sweet or a drink or food that you find particularly tempting, or maybe it's to give up something like power or control or popularity or influence. Or maybe it's to take on a practice. Maybe it's a Bible study or a prayer practice. Maybe it's reading the Bible, every day. Any of those possibilities. My invitation to you over the course of this week: give something up, take something on, a Lenten practice for this year.